It's been said that there are sermons and songs. I know we've talked about this before. I had a song going through my head for most of the week, really. It's one we're very familiar with. It's recorded on 325 in our songbook, Just As I Am. Today is Reformation Sunday. The term Reformation is basically a reform. Reform meaning that things are changing. The old is being reformed into something new, something different, and in this case, something better. We know that the Old Testament times, it was all done by the law, and people obeyed that law for the most part. But God also had another plan. And he had a plan that he would send down to earth salvation for each and every person. A salvation that could be grasped the hold of. A salvation that if believed, there would be an assurance of eternal life. And did not require us to trust on anything of ourselves. And that song, Just As I Am, the songwriter says that without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Isn't that the way it is? I only have to look back into my own life and listen to or remember what the Holy Spirit did when he called. And it was a voice that could not be ignored. And it was words that could not be ignored. And he goes on, he says, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within without. Poor, wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee I find. Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. That's what Jesus promises us this morning. In the song that we just sang, Grace, Grace, God's Grace, that's what he extends to us this morning is grace. He extends to us the love, the compassion, the understanding, and the knowledge of what we go through each and every day. He understands and he knows just what we need to overcome that which is placed before us at times. The temptations, the hardships, the struggles that we have to endure, that we have to do, because Satan is throwing darts at us constantly. And he knows these things. Not only because he went through them, not only because he felt them and had to fight against them, but his gift goes beyond that. He knows what we need to overcome. He knows where we need to turn to receive that strength, to overcome that which we're being tempted of, because he's experienced it. The salvation that he offers to us is eternal. The salvation that he offers to us is perfect. And there will not be any question about it. For text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Romans. It is one of the the texts for Reformation Sunday. It's Romans chapter 3, and beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 28. And we read these words in the name of our Savior. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, please open your word to us. Please, Father, give to us that assurance, give to us that peace and that knowledge that indeed you love us and that your word is truth, for indeed your word is truth at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we know that whatsoever things the law says, it says to them that are under the law, but every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Those who are under the law, they don't have a lot of freedom. The last part of that verse, it says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What does it mean that every mouth in the world shall be stopped? What is being said here is that there is no excuse. There is no defense against what God has and what God knows. There is no defense that we can stand before him like, or have some lawyer represent us and saying, well, I did it because. No. There is no excuse. There is nothing that can be said, because the full law or the full reasons for whatever was done will be exposed. There is no way that anyone is going to proclaim any type of innocence, because all will know that they have come short of the glory of God. And all of the world may become guilty before God. And that is kind of backs that up. The whole world will become guilty before God, including us. But we also have something to stand in our place. We have that assurance because we have faith in Christ. I was listening to a service this morning. It was about I think it was the 16th chapter of Acts, where Paul and Silas. And there was this girl that was following them around and saying, these are the men of God. She was a soothsayer, as the scripture says, basically a fortune teller. And Paul became somewhat annoyed because she was creating a disturbance and she was creating issues. And so he turned and looked at her and he commanded that spirit that was within her to come out. And it did. Well, the people that were using her to earn money didn't like it. And so they got a hold of Paul And Silas stripped them, stoned them, beat them, and all the nasty things that they do back in those days, and then threw them into prison. And they were shackled and chained. And the whole time that they were there, they prayed and they sang songs to God and glorified him through song. And those of us that are familiar with the text, there was a great earthquake. All of the doors sprung open in the prison. Not only sprung open, but all of the shackles were released of all the prisoners that were there, not just Paul and Silas. The jailer saw it, knew what his punishment was going to be for it, took his sword and was going to kill himself. And Paul told him, no, don't do that. And that jailer came and fell on his knees before Paul. And he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And there was just one short answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all that's needed. As Harvey has so often said, believe in Christ, add nothing. And that's what this Reformation is all about. Taking the law away as a way to justify oneself and replacing it with Christ and what he has done and through his grace. Not ignoring the law, I'm not saying that for a moment, but just trusting in Christ and that's where our salvation will be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. And we know that the jailer took Paul and Silas home, dressed them, took him home into his house, and there his whole house was baptized. It's amazing how the Spirit works, because not only did it work in the jailer, but it worked in his whole house. And they all rejoiced. And they all praised God for his goodness. That's what we will do on that last day. We will rejoice and we will praise him for what he has done for us. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made known and being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Nothing is excluded. No one is excluded. In Colossians, the third chapter, verse 11, it talks about, I can find it quickly here. There it is. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There is no one that's going to say, because I'm better than you. Or because I live a better life than you, then I am better. No, none of that. There is no difference. Because you see, God does not care about nationalities. He does not care about anything other than the soul. And the salvation of that soul. And the fact that whether you believed or did not believe, that's what God looks at. He doesn't look at anything else. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nothing left out there. We all have. We've all done wrong. We've all done things that we are ashamed of. And I think somewhere along the line, or at least for me, there are a lot of stuff that Satan brings up that I did when I was a kid, and even beyond, constantly reminding me of how miserable I was, and trying to make me think that I am less and not worthy. And that alone sometimes can be a battle. Because Satan is pretty powerful. He's a lot stronger than people give him credit for. And we can see all the nonsense that's going on today straight from Satan. The only defense that we have is God. The only defense that we have is His Son. The only defense that we have is the Holy Spirit, which indeed is the triune God. Being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That term redemption, to use a natural explanation, I guess, if you will. Back in the day of the time of Jesus and of the apostles here, it was not uncommon for a person to be a slave. It wasn't uncommon for a person to be sold to somebody else to be a slave. People talk about slavery and how terrible it is, and it is. Not for a moment would I ever suggest that it wasn't. But there was a way out at that time. And what it would be is that the person would have to pay the owner of that slave whatever was owed, whether it's $10, $100, $200,000, whatever it happened to be. A family member, someone who had mercy upon that particular individual, would provide money and buy them. They would pay the amount owed that made them a slave to start with, and then they were set free. Christ paid the amount that was owed. He paid that amount so that today we can walk down and walk outside, go where we want to know, and know that we are free. Things may happen over life, but no one can ever take that freedom from us because God has provided for it and promised us. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now, the term propitiation, they use a lot of big words back in the day when this was written, but basically what it means is satisfaction. God was satisfied through the blood that Christ shed on the cross. He was satisfied that the price was paid. He was satisfied to the point that we are set free. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. The thief on the cross, did he have a chance to go to those who he had wronged and repent? No. But he looked at Jesus and he said, "Today remember me in paradise." And Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He declared His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God loves us that much because of our faith. But you know, the interesting part is those who do not have faith, those who are going about life in their own way and coming up with their own decisions, their own conclusions, He loves them too. That is hard for the human mind to understand. At least this human mind. It's difficult to comprehend. It's difficult to comprehend that God is not saying, close the doors, because He's waiting. He's waiting for that last person. I think it might have been last week or one time anyway, they had that issue up there in up in Washington, where they had a prayer meeting and a prayer and singing, and people broke into it and took all their sound equipment, threw it in the river. And then they made the statement that, "Where is your God now?" And my response, or at least in my mind, to thinking was that, is that he's sitting in the same place as he was before you showed up. He's sitting in that place waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come to him and to understand and to know that there is indeed salvation. Waiting for them to come and understand that there is a better way to deal with things than violence. He goes on, he says, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And this is what God wants to do to all those who believe. That indeed, because of their faith, they are justified. They are justified and God is satisfied. So he goes on, he says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." There's nothing to boast in. When a person comes into faith, they come into faith and recognize that I've got nothing. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to tell you that I am worthy, because I have nothing. I am a sinner saved by grace. I can't boast about anything. I can't tell you that I have done this, I have done that, I've gone out and served this. There's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of people that will do a lot of good things. But without Christ, it means nothing. The law of faith. That's what we must cling to. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." You don't have to have a do or earn. I came across a little list, something about faith, is four little things of what faith means. Faith eliminates the pride of human effort, because faith is not a deed that we do. If we have faith, do we have to be doing anything? No. It's something that we have within us. Faith exalts what God has done and what not what people do. When we come into faith, when we come into trust Christ, do we take on any type of, take on anything that would give credit to anybody else other than God? No. It exalts what God has done for us, not what anybody has done. Faith admits that we can't keep the law or measure up to God's standards. When you come into faith, you recognize that I fall short. Scripture tells us if you just fall short in one of them, you've fallen short in all of them. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And lastly, faith is based on our relationship with God, not our performance for God. There's nothing there that we can do for God. There's nothing there that we can claim that we have done to further God's work. Anything that we have done comes from Him. Anything that we have done has been given to us to do by Him. And we recognize that indeed without Him there would be no hope. Without our Savior we would still be stuck in our sin. What has to be done to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Add nothing. Don't add anything to it. Don't say, "Yeah, but." There is no "yeah, but." believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Done. Anything other than that, open yourself up to the receptive voice of the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide you at that point. He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to lead you down a path that you're not going to want to go. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Sometimes we may end up having to do things that we're not particularly crazy about having to do, but yet it's what God wants us to do. I think of the Old Testament prophets. How often things were done that God allowed, and yet they came through it unscathed. I've thought before of the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Kids know all about it, but how often have we thought of it? The furnace was heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. The people who were throwing the wood into the furnace actually died because of the heat was so intense. And yet where the three were thrown into the furnace, the king looked in there and said, "How? We threw 3 people in there, I see 4. And the 4th is as the Son of God." God has a plan. God knows what he's doing. He just wants us to follow him. He wants us to do what he wants us to do. Not ignore it, not turn away from it, but just do what is right and proper. And not to just come up with an excuse or a reason why. Just do it. He'll take care of all the peripherals. He'll take care of all the things that would harm us. He'll take care of all that little stuff. Because to him it is little. May not be to us, but to him it is. And he will love us and protect us and take care of us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his message to us this morning. In his name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We pray, O God, as we are leaving here, we pray, Father, that we would keep these words, and that we would continue to believe, to continue to trust, to continue to understand that you have our best interest at heart. There are times when things get a little rough. There are times when the road gets kind of bumpy. But Father, we know that you will indeed take care of us, and that one day we will be able to stand before you, and we will not need anybody to defend us, because our defense is that we believe in Christ, and that is what you have offered for us and as have instructed us to do. Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us. We ask that you would lift up your countenance upon us and be gracious unto us. We pray, Father, that you would bless us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.